Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 337, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise. Thy word by faithful lips proclaimed, and what follows, Psalter 337, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 1, the verses 1 through 14. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 1, the first 14 verses. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, as saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou in thy loving kindness and in thy mercy have gathered us and our children together by renewal in this day within the walls of thy house of prayer, when we attempt by renewal to draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips, may it please thee to fill our hearts with that adoration, with that reverence. Oh, grant that bowing of the hearts before thee, the highest majesty, then how necessary each time by renewal to ask with the disciples of old, teach us to pray. Then in thy holiness, in thy purity, then thou requires also perfection. And to that end we need to learn that we can only approach and receive blessings from above through thy dear Son, who sitteth at thy right hand, and from thence is gathering, deserving, and preserving his church. Then thou requires that with our heart, that we profoundly feel the sins and the guilt which we confess, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, an impression of all our needs, temporal, spiritual, and then thou requires thanksgiving, not only with our lips, but with our heart and with our life. Ah, Lord, then how fitting in this evening the prayer of the two travelers to Emmaus, where they have constrained thee that thou would richly, that thou would abide with them. It was toward the evening. Wilt thou so richly dwell amongst us and grant tokens thereof, ah, Lord? What a special token of thy dwelling it would be when it would be heard that in this evening service that sons and daughters were born in Zion, conquered by thy free and sovereign grace, that they have become seekers, but also concerning thy people, the rich blessings that the two travelers have experienced, that they were given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. To that end wilt thou grant that thy children may see more clearly, believe more ardently, love more fervently, hope more steadily, be more thankful, be more humble, and that cheerfully they may be given to follow thee in sown and unsown ways, to be administered out of thy fullness, and to receive grace for grace, to be led further into the mysteries of salvation. Lord, do bless thy word in the midst of the church to that end. Do continue to help the consistory who is sufficient unto these things. Wilt thou grant many Aarons and hers. Bless thy word in the family circles. Wilt thou impress upon husbands and fathers their profound responsibility as head of their dear wife and their dear children, called to instruct and lead them according to thy holy word, and that the simple instruction accompanied by godly examples and much prayer, thou hast promised it, as cast thy bread upon all waters, and thou shalt find it after many days. Wilt thou remember our Christian school, as still a few small months left hitherto, then thou wast spared all, may it please thee to continue to do so. Continue to grant traveling mercies. Wilt thou remember and help the school board administration, principals and teachers, and when thy holy word may be opened, make it a blessing for young and old. Thou also knowest the great need for teachers. May it please thee to incline hearts to that end of those that are bound around that old truth and the old ways. We commend thy church all over the earth unto thee. Wilt thou remember the established churches, our denomination, when thou grantest it then at the end of this month, and then the curatorium hopes to meet, and then the student hopes to become callable. Lord, may it please thee to grant more students for our theological school. We commend unto thee all the vacant congregations. Wilt thou continue to uphold and remember the persecuted church? So many countries where thy church cannot freely gather. Many are in prison. Many family circles in distress. May they be given to experience in special ways that thou wast every hand in thy hand, and that the King of the church knoweth of them. We commend unto thee the Jewish people. May the veil be taken away. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, with thy servants, with the team, the church worker, with all the preparations. May their eyes be upon thee. We commend unto thee all Bible translators. Impress upon their hearts continually that they are translating thy holy inspired word. And when thy word may be sent out to the corners of the earth, many impossibilities and many difficulties, when there is no way, wilt thou make a way, and that for the purpose of all purposes, that thy chosen church may be gathered. Wilt thou bless thy holy word that may be sent into the prisoners, that the text may be blessed to their hearts, that those prisoners by thy grace, that they may become spiritual prisoners, that they may be given to sigh unto thee, the living God, and that they may be delivered by that only deliverer who has been anointed to proclaim liberties to the captives. Lord, by renewal, Then we commend unto thee the many temporal needs, the cares in the midst of the family circles. Oh, do continue to remember all the mourning ones. Remember the elderly ones. The infirmity shall only increase. Those in our care home, with those that may care for them, those that may still go in and out, remember all under the physician's care. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening where it is needed. Remember the burdens, the crosses. Remember the handicapped ones, those that are struggling with weakness of mind. Oh, may they be given to oftentimes bow their knees and ask for strength and help. We commend unto thee all the family circles may love abound. Remember those that struggle with temptations and addictions. May it please thee to deliver them. We commend unto thee prodigal sons and daughters. Lord, remember our nation. Remember our leaders. Remember our province. Where elections have been planned at the end of this month, may the prayers be multiplied, O Lord. We have departed so far from thee. It is so seldom heard also by those in authority of our sins that we have forsaken thee and a calling for repentance. Thus we have nothing to plead upon, but yet, Lord, may thou yet show a little mercy, that also thy church and those that may have respect for thy holy word, that they shall not be so persecuted, but that we may still have many liberties in our Lord, that we take not all our freedoms for granted, where we have so many above so many nations upon the face of the earth, but we have forgotten thee, we have become proud as a nation, as a province. We are trampling upon thy word and upon thy institutions. The unborn continue to be murdered, the Sabbath day desecrated, the seventh commandment trampled upon. But, O Lord, impress upon all of our hearts that thou was written in thy word that the time is come, that judgment must begin at the house of God. O Lord, we have become so like unto the world. Oh, it is true, there are still many families amongst us where thy word has a large place, but alas, the world conformity is so great. May it become our grief. Wilt thou grant repentance and a seeking for pardoning? Lord, then by renewal in this evening, we humbly ask thee for thy help in speaking and in listening. Wilt thou richly add thy blessing? Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 183, the four stanzas. O Lord, thou hast ascended on high in might to reign. Captivity thou leadest, a captive in thy train. And what follows, Psalter 183, the four stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, the question and answers 46 through 49. Question 46, how dost thou understand these words, he ascended into heaven? Answer, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Question 47, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Answer, Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. But with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Question 48, but if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Answer, not at all. For since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature, and remains personally united to it. Question 49, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? Answer, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. Thirdly, that he sends us a spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. Lord's Day 18 speaks of the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, with three thoughts. In the first place, the historical ascension. Secondly, the clarified ascension. And thirdly, the comforting ascension. The glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The historical ascension, as we find in number 46. The clarified ascension in 47 and 48, and the comforting ascension in number 49. Thus first, the historical ascension. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then, we are called upon to consider the second step of Christ's exaltation. A Good Friday, the payday for the church, where Christ has finished the work in the state of his humiliation, which his Father has required. The resurrection, the application of that mere salvation for his church. And now with the ascension and a blessing for the people of God, when they may be led further, because with the ascension, then the church is brought back to the Father heart of God, where Christ by his ascension, then the gates were opened for the Son of God, and through the Son of God, the whole church was included. When we read this Lord's Day, then there is a great difference with Lord's Day 18 that speaks about the ascension of Christ, and Lord's Day 17 that speaks of the resurrection of Christ. In Lord's Day 17, then there was one question with five proof texts. And now in this Lord's Day, then we have four questions with 25 proof texts. Thus this Lord's Day is much more comprehensive when it speaks of the ascension of Christ than concerning the resurrection of Christ. And that has a reason. When Frederick III, that God-fearing prince, what a blessed time it was that in the time of the Reformation that there were rulers and leaders that had such respect for the Word of God, even rulers who truly feared the Lord, and that Frederick III, he had a great love and concern for his people, and not only temporally, but also spiritually, and it grieved them sorely that among the Protestants, the people of the Reformation, that there was also different thoughts, that there was confusion, and that there was division. Oh, Martin Luther, the Lord has greatly used them as an instrument in his hand to bring a people out of the house of bondage. But there were still errors that Martin Luther had. John Calvin, he was a second-generation reformer. He was born 26 years later than Martin Luther. And now also concerning the ascension, then a Martin Luther, then he had a certain error, which we hope to hear of in our second thought. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his great love, then he has remained on this earth for 40 days with the resurrection. Then he had a divine right to immediately to return to his Father. But prophecy also needed to be fulfilled. And it was for the love of his church that he has remained 40 days to assure them that he was resurrected indeed, because soon on the day of Pentecost, then the disciples would be called upon to preach that everlasting gospel as it is in Jesus Christ concerning his suffering and death, but also that he was resurrected from the dead to instruct them further concerning the kingdom of God, Oh, also for a Peter to officially reinstate him into his office and to wean them more and more from his bodily presence. Oh, he has ascended to fulfill prophecy in Psalm 24. There it is written of that King of glory that has entered into those everlasting gates. In Psalm 47, that Christ has went up with a shout. In Psalm 68, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Then Christ has also spoken to his disciples in John 16, verse 7, that it was expedient that I go away, that the Comforter may come. And in John 17, verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was typified by an Enoch, by an Elijah. Oh, it was typified when on the great day of atonement that the high priest, with the blood of an animal, of that goat, when he went into the Holy of Holies and he has sprinkled the blood before the veil and on the mercy seat, it was typified when the ark was brought up to Jerusalem by King David in 2 Samuel 6, when Psalm 68 was penned. And now concerning the matter, how dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven, the first words from Article 6, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, in Enoch, no record that anyone has witnessed, Elijah has seen it, but now for Christ, then Christ, we have heard it out of Acts 1 in the Gospels. There is not so much spoken, not so much written of the ascension of Christ in Mark 16. One verse, verse 19. And Luke 24, the verses 50 through 53. And in Acts, the portion that we have read together, then Christ, then he has led his disciples out. He has granted them further instruction. He has blessed them. And then he was taken up out of their sight. Reverend Hellenbrook, in his question book, then he mentions 3 points. In the first place, actually, that he was taken with his body. The Lord has led him as far as Bethany. That is a little hamlet, a little town on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olivet, shortly before the road descended to Jericho. And then he was taken up. He has ascended. And his disciples were given to see it, that with his human body, body and soul, that he was taken into heaven. Then secondly, Reverend Hellenbrook mentions visibly, and fifthly, locally. And then the instructors, they have stated, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest. This is a word of examination. For our interest. Who does that refer to, congregation? When Zacharias Ursinus, Caspar Olivianus, in this Lord's Day, when he says us, and our interest, who is he speaking of? Is he also speaking of you, congregation? then they are speaking of God's true people. Daddy is in heaven for our interest, as we hope to hear in our third point, as prophet, priest, and king. Blessed that people that have been wrought upon, oh, young and old. You have to say in this evening that I am still excluded, that I am not included in those words. Oh, ask then the Lord for his grace. We hope to hear in our second point of that grace that is so superabounding. And I read in Ezekiel 36, verse 37, that the Lord will be inquired of the house of Israel to do it for them, for our interest, until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Do we believe it, congregation? Do we believe what we confess? How needful. We have heard out of Acts 1, verse 13 and 14, of that church that was gathered in one accord with prayer and supplication. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Secondly, the clarified ascension. Then the instructors ask, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Christ is promised to his church. In Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And now, boys and girls, Christ, disciples have witnessed it. He has ascended into heaven. Thus then the question is, has that promise not become true? When Christ has promised, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, and yet Christ has left his church, the disciples have witnessed it, that he has went upward, and that a cloud has taken him out of their sight. Thus that is the question. Those are the questions that are answered in question 47 and 48. And those questions, they concern the heir of Martin Luther. Oh, Martin Luther. He had such a love for a Savior, such a desire for his presence, and also concerning the Lord's Supper. Then Martin Luther has taught that when the bread was broken and the wine poured, no, not as the Roman Catholics, that the bread and wine is changed into the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, Martin Luther, he did not agree with it. That was not biblical. But Martin Luther has taught that when the Lord's Supper is administered, that Christ is present also with his body, with the elements. And to that end, so Martin Luther has taught actually, when there were two towns, and in the same morning, the same day, that the Lord's Supper was administered, then Martin Luther would tell us that Christ with his body, that he would be present at both places at the same time. Oh, it was on account of that love. But Martin Luther has erred, and to that end, That is why our instruction concerning the ascension of Christ is much broader than concerning the resurrection of Christ, because concerning the resurrection of Christ, then they have all believed in that resurrection. And now for Martin Luther, that Christ with his body, with his human nature, that he could be present, then he is taught, it is not perfectly clear when we read the Lutheran confession, already implied by some statements that perhaps already with his incarnation, but surely with Christ's ascension, then Martin Luther has taught that when Christ has ascended, then the communicable attributes of that divine nature, because Christ co-essential with the Father, then the human nature has become partaker of those divine attributes. Thus Martin Luther has taught that when Christ has ascended, that the human nature has received different properties, that human nature has become omnipresent. That means, boys and girls, that the human nature has become present all over as the divine nature. And to that end, the questions and answers, number 47 and 48. Is not Christ then with us, even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Answer, Christ is very man and very God. With respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth. We have heard it out of Acts 1 that Christ would remain in heaven until he comes upon the clouds of heaven to judge the quick and the dead. But now concerning the human nature, but with respect to his Godhead, that is omnipresent, all over present at the same time, all places, and to that end, the promise of Christ, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world, perhaps boys and girls. And when we take examples out of nature, then they never perfectly describe, and we have to be careful. But if we now take the example of the sun and sunlight, then the sun is in one place, but the light of the sun that shines all over the world. And of course it is a little opposite, because the sun is more glorious than the light. And when we consider the divinity of Christ, that he is true and eternal God, nevertheless, boys and girls, may be a simple example that we can have a little understanding of the matter that is spoken of in this Lord's Day. But with respect to his Godhead, and then secondly, then the majesty of the Son of God is mentioned. That is his kingship, his royalty, his power, and his authority. How do we live with that majesty, with the power and with the authority of the King? He is King of kings and Lord of lords. May I ask you, congregation, then we may examine our hearts. How do we live with the word of the King? His holy word, inspired word, which the Lord has given unto the church in his great goodness The will of God is declared. 'Tis declared our fall, also a Savior, and how a poor sinner and the Savior may come together. When the Lord works, then we do receive impression of the highness, the majesty of the Lord. And then there shall come a bowing, and then there shall come an asking for the will of God. Think of Saul, that self-righteous Saul on the way to Damascus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Godhead, majesty, and grace, never absent from us, church. Then it may be declared, congregation, that there is grace, that there is mercy for sinners, for the chiefest of sinners. Do you need grace, congregation? Do you need mercy? I have read of a king. Do not know which country and the time, but that king had profound impressions of that little word grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is grace for guilty sinners. And then he had a desire to show unto people what grace really was. And in his town, or one of his towns, there was a prison with many prisoners. And then he thought, if I now set one free, then I have a beautiful opportunity to tell about the freeness of grace as it is by Jesus Christ. So the king, he went to the prison and he entered into a cell where there was a prisoner. And the king says, my friend, why are you in prison? And that prisoner, he started to excuse himself, start to justify himself that he should not be in prison, that he had not done wrong. And then the king thought, well, this one does not need grace. So we went to the next cell. And there the prisoner had a little impression that he had done wrong. But he said, king, there are so many that are much worse than I. Maybe even a few that are walking on street that are no better, and they are not in prison. And then the king thought, there is no room to show grace. Do you hear your name, congregation? Is there need for grace and mercy? Have you become a sinner by the work of the Holy Spirit? And I read in Romans 3, verse 19, that we must all become guilty and our mouth stopped. Are we like that second prisoner? I am not the worst. Always in church, read my Bible, God's Word has a large place in our family. Thus there are many upon this world that are much worse than I. They need grace much worse than I. But now he went to another cell, and that prisoner has broken out in weeping, has said, I deserve it, transgress the law. My only hope is if there may be mercy. And then the king has set him free, undoubtedly describing, declaring the mercy there is through the beloved Son of the Father for the forgiveness of sins. And now it is necessary, when we read in this Lord's Day, that with his grace, he has promised to work through his word in the church, but then it refers especially to the children of God, that with his grace, that he is never absent from his church. It is true, there are times that they feel forsaken, forgotten. Think of Isaiah 49 verse 14, but I read in Hebrews 13 verse 5, I will never leave nor forsake thee. By his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, that he never forsakes his church with his spirit. Once that spirit takes abode in the heart of his chosen people, then that spirit shall never depart. Oh, that spirit to instruct, to comfort, to encourage, to lead, to guide, and to assure. But if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? And then the mystery concerning those two natures cannot be understood, cannot be fathomed, must be believed. And the instructors have answered, not at all. But since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, thus that means, congregation, that the Lord is everywhere present. No place where we can be upon this world when we are alone and no one else sees us, then it is true what Hagar has declared in Genesis 16 verse 13, Thou God seest me. It must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Our third thought, the comforting ascension. Let us first sing Psalter 58, the three stanzas. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory, high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. And what follows, Psalter 58, the three stanzas. the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, the historical ascension, the clarified ascension, and now thirdly, the comforting ascension. And for the true people of God, then this comfort that shall be granted especially under special circumstances. And then we mention three. In the first place, when it pleases the Spirit to lead further and to work a need for those further leadings, and when the Scripture may be opened for such a one, that they may be given to understand the riches thereof. Secondly, under all their assaults of the prince of darkness, many questions and many riddles, and that such a child that they can be so dumbfounded, then there are times that the Spirit is given to show them that it is not their cause, it is not their church, but that there is one at the right hand of the Father who pleads their cause. Thirdly, when there is special persecution, the church by the world, then oftentimes, then the Spirit is given to lead them concerning the glorious ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he sitteth at the right hand on their behalf. In the time of the Reformation also, when our catechism was written, then the stakes were burning. There were those that were put to death because of owning a Bible. Parents brought to the stake because they were instructing their children. And under those circumstances, then that people were given to think much more of eternity and what the Lord has prepared for them that truly fear him and love him. Of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? By renewal, that word us. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Tis the most important question for us and our dear children. When we read these questions and when it concerns the living child, when it is missed, may that become an unbearable need. And when the Lord has begun to be given to make her calling and election sure, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? First, that he is our advocate in the presence of the Father. When we speak of an advocate, of a lawyer, then there is a case. And when we have a case that needs to be dealt with, then it is great advantage when we may have one that may be up higher, to make it simple, in the days of old, one that could come before the king and to lay that case out and to plead it. And now the instructors are declaring, based upon God's word, because we read in 1 John 2 verse 1, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. In the book of Hebrews, then it is so clearly explained that Jesus Christ is the advocate for his church, that with the ascension, that he has entered into the heavens, as the high priest has done on the great day of atonement. When we speak of an advocate, that is one who pleads. An intercession is one who prays. And Christ is now an advocate of pleading upon his perfect obedience, his perfect sacrifice. And then he comes with his precious blood before his Father, and where the Father has promised upon that sacrifice that the church shall be set free. And then he intercedes for them, beautiful portrayed in the Old Testament, with the high priest, with his high priestly clothing, where he had that breastplate upon his heart, with those 12 stones, with the 12 tribes of Israel, and also 2 stones upon his shoulders, and upon each stone there were written the 6 tribes of Israel. Then secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. A pledge that is something to assure in the way of promise. When a couple is married, then the exchange rings that has taken place in the past week. And then that ring is a pledge of their constant faithfulness and abiding love. And surely such a ring even receives more value when the bridegroom and the bride is separated than when they are separated a great distance, a long time, or even a shorter time, that many times they shall be given to look upon their ring, a pledge of constant faithfulness and abiding love. And now the instructors are given to speak that Christ, who has assumed our human nature and has ascended into heaven, and that he is the head of the church, and the body, those are his members, they can never be separated, that in due time, that those members, that they shall also be taken into glory to be forever with the Lord. Thus then Christ, then he has ascended into heaven, he has spoken thereof. In John 14, verse 2, I go and prepare a place for you, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was otherwise, I would have told you. Do you sometimes think about a congregation concerning those mansions? Is there also a place prepared for you? Then maybe you shall ask, and we know that. Then let us state it this way. The Lord has a prepared people for a prepared place. And as the Lord now begun that good work, to work those living desires, that thirsting for righteousness, experience that we are a sinner, exercised with death and with eternity. And eternity shall be forever. Exercised with two places, two ways, and two eternal destinations. There are those eternal mansions which Christ has merited and prepared for his people. And each of those mansions, they shall be filled, but also a prepared place in hell for those that have refused to bow under the majesty of King Jesus and that have never learned to beg for grace and for mercy that they may be pardoned to receive a right to eternal life and to be made meet in the way of sanctification. Thirdly, that he sends us a spirit as an earnest, by whose power, that's our third point, that is now a point of examination concerning those prepared mansions and whether Christ has become our head. Because then the instructors declaring the blessings for the living church of Jesus Christ that have been born again, wrought upon by the Spirit, that find their life declared in the holy word of God, that as a sinner, as that people in that third cell, that they have learned that by their good works, sometime in prison, that's so strange to God's people, sometime in prison, then on account of good behavior, then they may be released a little earlier. There are souls for whom that is not strange. But now to learn that with all our attempts, that we are only becoming a chiefest, a greater sinner. But now the marks of grace that he sends as a spirit, as an earnest, does a pledge in heaven, but the king also sends a pledge as an earnest by whose power we seek the things which are above. When you have a bridegroom and a bride, to make it simple, for our children, and when the bridegroom, the bride needs to visit family or another reason, and then the bridegroom brings his bride to the airport, then even if it is possible, then the bridegroom shall follow that plane in the air till they can see it no longer. And then what is such a bridegroom busy? But there's another time zone. Many times he looks on his watch and that he thinks, for my wife, it is such and such a time, maybe sleeping, other things. Then his thought shall be in that other country. And that is now to make it plain what the instructors are stressing. Do I hear souls say, but Solomist has also said it. And Psalm 119 verse 25. My soul cleaveth to the dust. So carnal. So earthly. And so worldly. so busy with the things of the earth, nevertheless shall not always be. Church knows of those times, as we read in the answer that he sends us a spirit as an earnest by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. The Spirit speaks of the bride that is thinking much, meditating upon the bridegroom that has paid such a great dowry, that has shed his precious blood, that black bride may be set free. To that end, we read in Colossians 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Thus, for examination, what is our life, our thoughts, our desires, our activity, the things of the Lord? Has that become the most important? May I ask you, what gives now the greatest joy and satisfaction? And there are many things. When a young couple is married, what a joy and satisfaction when they may receive the desire of their heart. But even with the blessings of earthly things, does that now give the true and full satisfaction? Or does it now become extra special, also those earthly things, when we may be given to see the hand of the Lord in it? We have heard in this morning of those travelers to Emmaus. They were seeking for the things above. They were busy with it. Christ has instructed them. And when he was made known unto them, they were given to rejoice with joy unspeakable. And to that end, let us close. We have mentioned that text in this morning, Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may thank thee for another Lord's Day, could come up to thy house. We may speak, we may hear. And then in this evening we have heard of such rich and marvelous things. Where there is no need, Lord, work that need. Where thou hast begun, grant the further leadings. May we be given to resemble that little church with one accord with prayer and with supplication. We may commence another week. We humbly ask thee, wilt thou remember and watch over us, the mothers in the home? Wilt thou remember at work, remember on the way, at school? Wilt thou remember those that are called to labor, also in the night? Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread, opportunity to plant the crops, but also that we may receive moisture? Thou knowest the concerns. It is written in thy word that except thou bless the labor of our hands, it shall not avail. May we be given to feel more and more how dependent we are upon thee for everything, but, O Lord, not only concerned about temporal matters, wilt thou work where it is missed, and where thou hast begun may it be increased. And thou hast promised for those thirsty ones that they shall be satisfied. Also in thy house there are times for thy child that the cup may run over. Wilt thou so keep us from harm and danger, keep us from sin and temptation, bring us up to thy house for a weekday service. Wilt thou remember the student, may he be carried upon the wings of prayer, add thy blessing. Wilt thou now graciously bring us to our homes, and that before we go to our beds, that we may entrust all unto thee, and that thou may graciously watch over us, and that we may awake somewhat refreshed with courage, with strength for the duties which thou hast laid upon us. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 203, the first four stanzas. In sweet communion, Lord, with thee, I constantly abide. My hand thou holdest in thy own to keep me near thy side. And what follows? 203, the first four stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.